Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Lior Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. So, I don't know if anyone asked you this question yet today, but how's your relationship holding with God? Something to think about, isn't it? I think throughout life, even those who believe, those who have faith, those who have chosen faith, those who've been brought up from the time they were a baby with faith, there are times we cycle in our relationship with God. There's times where we really, I think it's specifically when things are going well. You had some sort of miracle, or you had some amazing act of divine providence, or a great coincidence, which I would say is really the same thing, that things, everything in life just seems to be falling into place, that we just feel like, wow, God is with me. Isn't this wonderful? And then unfortunately, when there's times of struggle, times of pain, times of tragedy, I think that's often when things aren't going the way we would have hoped for them to go, specifically for us. They can, throughout every single day, you watch enough news, watch the news, and you'll see everyone's, throughout the world, there's so many tragedies any given day. But specifically, if it hits me personally, I might find myself really struggling with God. How could God do this? If God is loving, then how could something so painful be happening? And these are really painful and challenging questions. The question is, what do we do with these struggles? I think there's times when often when we're going through a hard time, we would love to be able to be rock solid in our faith, because it would just, you see other people, sometimes it seemed to be, and it just seems to help them through. And yet there's times in life where we struggle. Now, it's not only when we go through tragedy. There's just, I think, like any relationship, there's times we feel closer, more connected, more, so to speak, in love. There's times where we feel maybe a little bit more distant, not quite as connected. Some of that depends on us, I would have to say. I mean, how much am I putting into this relationship? But there's times when we're questioning the relationship, and maybe there were things we always believed. We believe God is involved in all the details of our life, and then all of a sudden something happens, and we're not so certain how we understand what we thought we believed in the past. So what should we do? Is it, are we just to be alarmed? How are we supposed to respond to these kinds of situations where we have life? And again, we're talking about someone who already believes in God, has faith, and yet we struggle. And that's exactly what I would like to address with Rabbi David Aaron after the break, is what can we do when we have struggles with God? How should we respond? Is there a way to work through these struggles so that we can actually have a stronger bond with God instead of potentially distancing ourselves and pulling away? I think so many who do struggle ultimately do want to have that close connection. So how can we go about that when we are struggling? When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lior Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Lior Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, I was recently having a conversation with a friend of mine who's definitely going through a lot in life right now. And she said, you know, Lior, I'm having a lot of God issues. I'm just struggling a lot. I've always believed in God and I have faith. And at the same time, I'm struggling. Like, I'm not really sure where my God relationship is holding. And it really was an interesting conversation, a very important conversation, but it really brought to light. And I said to her, I guess I've had my God struggles myself. I think there's so many people who believe in God. It's not the question of, like, I don't believe in God. Prove to me that God exists. It's, I may be a God believer. I may be a religious person. I may be a person who prays. And yet there's times in life where we go through these God struggles. And the question is, I think for many people, when this happens, it's very alarming. We don't want to be having God struggles. We want to feel like everything's going well in this relationship we have with God. But what do we do? I don't know if it's something that so many people talk about, which was why I thought it was pretty amazing that she shared that with me. When we're going through internal God struggles, what should we be telling ourselves and how do we work through them?
Well, first of all, it's important to know that that's normal, you know, and I think the first problem is when people become resistant to something that is totally understandable. You know, you're going through something, you believe that God is benevolent, and you're going through an experience that certainly doesn't feel in any way benevolent, and you struggle, you know, and actually the name Israel means you will struggle with God. So actually the very name Israel points to this idea that a relationship with God includes a struggle. And I think that struggle is part of the reset button, you know, because that's what keeps things fresh. You know, I mean, how do we know we're breathing when we have a hard time breathing? You know, how do we know we're healthy is when we're not so healthy? Life is an oscillation. And, you know, and the truth is, if your heart is monitored and you see a straight line, you'll probably not see it because you're dead. But when you're really having a heart monitor and you'll see that you know, the heartbeat goes up and down and up and down, up and down, then you know you're alive. So up and down is the way life is. And I think the first thing is to understand that, yeah, there's going to be a struggle.
Well, I think that's actually already a huge piece, because as you're saying that it's normal, I think so often people are almost, especially if you're a person that maybe is religious or people know you as a person of faith, I think it can be very challenging to start having struggles, and almost people are afraid to discuss it, which again, I think was so powerful that this friend shared this with me. But when you're saying it's normal, I think that really, and if anything, there actually is potentially a lot of positive that can come out of this. That's very powerful and helpful. I think that's a relief right there.
Yeah, you know, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov teaches that the purpose of the universe was to create a space for the possibility of emunah, of faith. And by the way, in our tradition, faith, emunah doesn't really translate into faith, but it actually translates into faithfulness or devotion. And that's really when a person has a question, a struggle, a challenge, but they choose to nonetheless devote their life to a life based on a relationship with God. Well, that's amazing. That's like unconditional love. I mean, how do you know this is really the deepest kind of love? When it's easy to love somebody, so of course you love them. But when there's issues and challenges and struggles, but you choose to love that person nonetheless, then that's really a very high manifestation of love. And so too, emunah. When a person has struggles in their emunah, in their, you know, and they realize that I'm going to choose to behave as if there is a God, even if sometimes I wonder whether there's a God, I'm going to choose to behave as if there is a God, and that will be always the foundation of my life, is living a life that is based on the implications of God consciousness.
You know, it is so interesting because as I'm thinking about this, I think I can't say for sure all the time, but so often when do we have these God struggles and God issues? It's when we're going through a tough time. And it's almost as if we believe that if we're, you know, people of faith, or we believe in God, and we talk about God loves us, then even though we know bad things, there's struggles happen to other people, but when it happens to me, all of a sudden these questions start coming up and these struggles of why would this be happening if there really is a God in the world? And it almost sometimes could feel better to think maybe this is happening because there isn't a God in the world, but it's also scary to think these things are happening, you know, that the light world is random. But I don't know that it's always when life is, so to speak, going well, you're right, that we necessarily consciously think about, wait a minute, how do I understand how God is manifest in my life? Is there, you know, to what degree is God manifest in my life? All these big questions. It's specifically when things aren't going as well that this often comes up. Just as you're saying, we're not thinking about our heart until it starts having weird palpitations.
Right. You know, there is no precedent anywhere in the Tanakh, in the Bible, of a believer having an easy life. Somehow people think that if I believe, that's some guarantee that my life is going to go well and wonderful. But there's nobody in Tanakh that did have an easy life. Abraham had a challenging life. In fact, he's going through 10 tests and Hashem is asking him to do things that are extremely, extremely difficult. He, you know, Yitzhak, Yaakov had such a difficult life that when he met Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" Because he looked so aged. And he says, I've had a tough life. So, you know, when people think that religion or belief in God guarantees some kind of merry-go-round life, you're in the wrong world. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's actually the power of the belief in God is essential, especially when life is difficult. I mean, you know, when we think of King David and we look at the Psalms of David, David did not have a merry-go-round of a life. I mean, I don't know if there's anything more devastating than a man whose own son is trying to kill him. You know, and King David is filled with praise. And in fact, there's a beautiful teaching of Psalms that says, Arimimcha ki dilitani, I extol you, Hashem, because dilitani, one of the ways of describing dilitani is because you impoverished me. And so if that's the way we read that verse, then and King David is saying, I extol you for impoverishing me because I know that when I am in a place of struggle, that is precisely where I'm able to grow the most and become more self-aware and more potent. And so very often when a person thinks like, well, why would God do this? You kind of, I kind of see it as a coach. You know, if you didn't know that you were being trained for the Olympics and you didn't understand why this guy was putting you through, you know, hoops and jumps and squats and push-ups, you think like, who's this guy? But then when you realize that he's my coach and he's training me to be a winner. And so in the end, it's really, do you think that God is, you know, going to guarantee you an easy life? If so, then this is not a God that's committed to helping us grow to our highest potential.
You know, it's a very, very, very good point that no one in Tanakh, no one in the Bible had an easy life, and these were very strong believers. And if anything, their strength of faith was shown how strong it was through all the tests they went through. If they weren't tested, then it wouldn't have necessarily been, even for themselves, they wouldn't have been as aware of how much do they really believe and how strong are they going to be committed to God, even with all the challenges. So then where does this concept, because I think it is out there, where does it come from that we think like, oh, if we believe and we do, so to speak, the right things, life should be easier, or we shouldn't have to go through these major struggles or getting upset with God, so to speak, when big challenges come our way?
You know, I don't know, because if you read the Bible again, all the figures of the Bible did not have an easy life. Yaakov's got a brother that's trying to kill him. You know, like who really had a life that was easy? We somehow think that God is a Superman and that his job is to come save us. And what we like the most about Superman is that after he saves us, he leaves and asks nothing of us. And so people think God is kind of like a green machine. He's there to serve your needs. And very often that's how people relate to God, is somewhat he's here to serve my needs. So it comes from, in many ways, a juvenile understanding of what God is. And, you know, when you think about it, I heard a beautiful lecture from Rabbi Twersky, Zichron Bracha, and he pointed out, you know, he asked the audience, who here can remember a positive event in their life that they grew from? Nobody could remember a positive event that they grew from. How about, can anybody here remember a negative, difficult time in their life that they grew from? And everybody could remember a difficult time. And so he said, the interesting thing about it is it seems that we really grow from the struggles and not from the easy times. The easy times don't seem to generate a tremendous amount of growth.
Well, I guess with the physical analogies, we're not going to build muscle unless we're stretching our muscle and we're lifting weights that are, if it's too easy, then it's not going to be building much of anything. So I guess what you're saying is in life, that really is how it is. And I guess then so much has to do with expectation, because if we could adjust our expectations and say, well, I didn't expect that life wouldn't have struggle, and why wouldn't God send me struggles and challenges, and why would that, you know, it doesn't mean God's not in my life and God doesn't love me. Look at the challenges that Abraham had. Look at the challenges that David had. You're right. And then when the challenges come, then we understand this is part of life, and having a relationship with God is hopefully turning to him during these challenges and getting angry at him. But these expectations I think are so significant. And it seems as though somewhere along the path, our expectations of what we expect from God and the, you know, the kind of life we expect, if as long as we're, so to speak, doing the right things, something's gotten lost along the way, which then has a, this big, very jarring effect when there is a challenge and a struggle, and that may make us then struggle with God. When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about God issues, struggling with God, especially if you already are a person of faith and you say you believe in God, or you're brought up to believe in God, and then you get to a point or many points in life where you find yourself struggling in your relationship with God. And first of all, Rabbi, clarifying that's normal, I think, is already a certain relief. But I mean, as usual with our conversations, it's such a change in perspective. It changed the whole understanding of everything, because here you're talking about that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's an opportunity to reevaluate this relationship. And so much comes from wrong expectations of what we, so to speak, expect from God. So I want to just continue in this line of expectations, because I think sometimes... Even in any relationship, sometimes we're aware of our expectations and sometimes we're not aware of them until we're disappointed in them. And then we're frustrated and we weren't even consciously aware we had certain expectations. But you're bringing out, and I think this is so true, that a lot of us do have certain expectations of God, whether conscious or not. And then when God doesn't, so to speak, fit into this box of how we expected him to manifest himself in our life, we start to struggle.
Well, look, you know, the word God comes from the word good. And God is the personification of all good. And therefore, I expect that God would be good to me. And somehow, it seems to be clear to me that good is always the way I define it. And God's definition of good should be fitting my definition of good. But then again, if I joined a gym... I would, you know, and I'm paying a guy to be my trainer, and I expect this guy to be a good trainer. I wouldn't expect him that he's going to make my life easy. I'm hiring him to make my life difficult so that I will become strong and powerful and win, you know, whatever competition I'm hoping to go into. And so I fire trainers that go easy on me because I'm not going to build muscle that way. And so it really turns out to, like, you have a real misunderstanding of how, what good looks like, and how quickly will you be able to identify that good is actually good. You might have to go through many, many years to look back and realize that all the difficulties that you went through was actually birth pains. And I see it as, when we go through difficult times, I see it as birth pains, because what's about to happen is you are going to give birth to something greater in yourself that is waiting to be born. And look, I've rarely met a person that's deep that didn't have some challenge or a lot of challenge in their life. Not that there can't be exceptions to the rules, but a person who's had a pretty cushy life and had no challenges in their life don't seem to be particularly contemplative, or learned how to be to do hard work and demonstrate persistence.
Because all that takes challenge and then working on ourselves to overcome that challenge, to strengthen ourselves internally. And if we never have that challenge, then we never get that strength. And if we don't think about things, we don't have time to work them out. It's true. Okay, so I have a question now. As I'm thinking about this more and just also thinking of myself and conversations I've had with people, there's times where God will send us a challenge, and it's clearly from God. Let's say there's an illness that, God forbid, there's nothing one could have done about it to create it, prevent it. It is, right? Or if, God forbid, someone has a loss and it just is. Let's say the child doesn't wake up from their sleep one morning. God forbid, these are terrible things. And these are the kinds of things that can really trigger struggling with God. But then there's also struggles that people will go through where it's more through human hands. Let's say a person was in a very abusive relationship, or they were abused as a child, or they have the death of a loved one that was more of a criminal death. That's, in some degrees, there are two different kinds of God struggles, because one is, okay, this is obviously directly from God, but why would you give me a child to take them away? The other struggle is questioning, is God really involved? How could God let this happen? Because a person was also involved in the situation. And I'm not sure, I think they're both, I'm not sure, maybe the second one could even potentially be stronger in terms of that questioning, how involved is God really in my life that this person could have had this ability to cause such harm? Just going into more particulars of these God things that really can create struggles with God.
Yeah, look, as a rabbi, most people talk to me about their problems, not how things are going well for them. They seem to call me only when things are going bad for them, or, and these are questions that I can't answer. I appreciate when people ask me the question, because it's a clear sign they think I'm the Messiah. But sadly, I'm not the Messiah, and I don't have answers to those questions. But one thing I know, and I've thought about this much in my life, if I were in the gas chamber, I've wondered whether I would have lost my faith. And at first thought, I actually thought I would have lost my faith. But then I would basically saying what Hitler's doing isn't wrong. Because if there is no God, then there is no right, there is no wrong. And what Hitler's doing might not be my taste, but I can't say it's absolutely wrong. And that is not an option. And so therefore I realized that I don't even have an option to lose my faith. Because if I lose my faith, I'm basically saying if there's no God, there's no absolutes, there's no right, there's no wrong. And, and this man didn't do anything wrong about killing Jews, like a person maybe doesn't do wrong by killing a mosquito. Like, who's making these decisions of what's right or wrong if there is no God? And so I realize that this is not a choice. I still struggle when things happen. I don't understand why God is doing this. And I might not love, or, I'm not loving what I'm going through, but at least the belief that there's meaning to this madness gives you the ability to get through it. It's like a friend of mine once said, if God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. But if you don't believe that God brought you to it, then who's going to get you through it? Because you just feel it's all an accident. And if it's all an accident, then you lose hope in even wanting to get through it.
It is so interesting, because I think in these really painful and challenging situations, as you're going through the process of what you've been thinking through, some people come to this conclusion of it's almost, how could I not believe there's a God? Because the alternative is just too, what's the purpose of my life? On the other hand, there's people who it's almost too painful, I think. Maybe that's part of it. It's too painful to imagine there's a God out there who's supposed to be good, or I was taught he's good, and yet how is all this bad happening? And they'd almost rather just not grapple with, well, then what's the purpose of the world? Because there's almost this pain in trying to think this through.
Look, I once heard it put that, it's impossible. If there's a God, then, how can we explain suffering? But if there isn't a God, how can we explain anything? And so, I don't know. Certainly when people are suffering, then there's a big question mark, where is God? But getting rid of God is not going to help me get through the suffering. It'll make it even worse. It'll make it even unbearable. And so therefore, there was a man who got, who survived the Holocaust. He lost his wife, his children. He lost everything. And someone asked him, you lost your, and he remained a believer. And someone asked him, You know, you lost your children, you lost your wife, you lost everything, and you still believe in God. And he says, what? I've lost everything, and now you want to take God away from me?
Mm. Wow. Then you've lost everything. That's a good point.
Then you've lost hope. Then you've lost any hope that all the mess and madness and meanness that you suffered has no meaning. Mm. It's just mean with no meaning. And so I don't know. Do we really, really have a choice? I think we are hardwired to believe that our life is significant, our life matters, that there's a right, there's a wrong, there's a good, there's an evil, and there's meaning to our lives. And all that is hardwired into it and into us, and I don't see how we can have that without God. And so I think most of us are really already hardwired to believe in God. Now, none of this is proving there is a God. It's just demonstrating that we already believe in one. And so why not live with what you believe in? I mean, it's like this is what we believe in.
And is there an answer or a direction? I guess I could say more because I don't think the answers you're pointing out. And I think that is very, actually, it's a great answer saying I don't have an answer, because I think sometimes you're given an answer and it just takes such a huge issue and makes it too small. But on the topic of people doing so much, you know, wickedness, people affecting and harming other people, like, so to speak, how does God allow that to happen? I think, again, well, that's so often where struggles come from.
The only way there could be a choice for good is that there is a choice for evil. And, you know, and I mean, this is a longer discussion, but the world was created to create an opportunity for choosing good. But for there to be the opportunity to choose good, there has to be an equal opportunity to choose evil.
And if I'm on the receiving end of someone's evil choice, do we say, I mean, I know this is a much bigger topic, and I don't know that there's an actual answer, but do I have to, like, how do, so perspective, how I see something often affects how I handle it and ingest it, I guess. Would that mean that, you know, this is part of God's orchestrated plan, or there's just this general idea that, again, we have to be able to make choices, and sometimes our choices are at the expense of somebody else, but it doesn't mean there isn't still God in the world running the show.
Well, Judaism describes free choice in a paradoxical way, that before something happens, there's complete free choice. Once something happens, it was God's plan. So was it choice or was it God's plan? And the answer is it's a paradox. Before something happens, it's free choice. Anything could happen. Once it happens, if it happens, then it's God's plan. And so now looking at it as God's plan, I think a person can look at it and say, okay, so what I went through, if it's God's plan, means there's some opportunity here for me to grow. Mm.
And that's already a very helpful and powerful perspective when we're going through a major challenge and struggle. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about our struggles with God, especially when we go through challenges. Which, it's sort of ironic, because on the one hand, I think there's a part of me that thinks, well, when you struggle with God, isn't your relationship weakening, and shouldn't you be scared about where your relationship's going? But you're pointing out that it's specifically through the struggle that gives opportunity for our relationship to become stronger, because it, so, right, I mean, not necessarily depending on how it resolves, but potentially if I'm just always going through life and nothing's really rocking my boat, I don't really have time to sort of question myself how much I really believe. It's specifically my faith, and you think of the 10 tests of Abraham, it's when it could have been very easy to, so to speak, stop believing and stop living life in alignment with God's will, that when still choosing, you have this with David too, to try as best as I can to connect to God, turn to God during the struggle, and live in alignment with God's will, that that actually is how they became so great and so strong and connected to God. So I think one of the big questions, too, when we're talking about going through hard times and struggling with God, is sometimes we're just not sure, like, God, what do you want from me? And sometimes if we can maybe get a little bit of clarity, like as you're saying, even the perspective of understanding the struggle itself isn't, you know, this is an opportunity for growth if we can be in the right perspective of it. But sometimes we're not always sure, like, what should I be doing during this struggle? So how do we answer that for ourselves?
Well, Rav Kook has a fascinating article where he describes that, you know, the voice of God, one of the ways God speaks to us, through our intelligence. And if a person looks at a situation and they think intelligently, what can I learn from this? What can I do with this? How can I grow from this? Then whatever reasonable answer comes your way that's intelligent, then that's the voice of God. You know, people expecting some booming voice to come out of heaven, but really sometimes the way God speaks to us is through our intelligence. And if it's not our intelligence, we go to some great wise person, say, listen to the situation I'm in, and what thoughts can you share with me that would help me, you know, grow from this. And if he says something intelligent, then that's it. That's the word of God.
That's very, very helpful and powerful. So in a sense, that we have to almost open up space for God to speak through us, because if we're not going to clear that space out to listen to what's happening inside, we may not hear what the message is.
But we have to ask the right question. If we say, why is God doing this to me? Well, that's the wrong question. I don't know anybody who's got an answer to why is God doing this to me. I would have to have the mind of God to understand why God does anything to me, you know. But if I ask, what is this that I'm going through asking of me? That's a different question, you know. And when you ask the right question, you have a greater chance of getting an answer. When you ask the wrong question, you know. So when a person says, why is God doing this to me? Well, then their head's going to go, well, you're evil. Well, God hates you. I mean, what's your head going to come up with? If you say, I'm going through this challenging experience, what can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? What good can I do because of it? Well, then that's a good question, and your mind will go in the direction of finding an answer to that question, which is a lot more empowering than, why is God doing this to me?
Gosh, so asking the right question is key, and just as you demonstrated, the difference is huge in terms of the answers that we'll get. You know, I'm thinking that often, unfortunately, if, let's say, a couple lose a child, they say so often afterwards, the couple just, they fall apart afterwards. And yet there's other times where you see couples become so much stronger and so much bonded because they turn to each other through the grief and the pain, and they support and help each other through it. And God forbid anyone who's not in this situation, I hope no one ever has to know from it. And those who have been understand this tremendous pain. But I feel like the same kinds of things can happen with God when a person's going through a lot of pain. Some people, as you were saying, it has the opportunity to strengthen our relationship with God. And some people, just because of all their pain, they just feel like, they just turn into themselves and they turn away from God. Whereas if they would be supported with God, as you're pointing out, going through a pain and struggle by yourself as opposed to going through it with God can be the world of difference of how heavy the pain and the burden of the pain feels. So if someone finds themselves that they're turning, so to speak, closing God out, is there anything that they can do to try to start opening up the door so that they can, again, feel like instead of carrying this by themselves, that God can be a comfort instead of being angry?
Well, you know, it goes back to one of the key choices we have in life is what commentary we give to the events of our life. And And it makes all the difference in the world. You know, it is what it is. Someone, God forbid, we shouldn't know this, but someone loses a baby. And so now, what are you going to say to yourself is going to determine how you're going to get up in the morning and what are you going to do about it? It's that serious. People, I think, are not taking responsibility or taking charge of the inner voice that's shooting off in their heads and aren't realizing that this is serious. I have to choose to talk to myself in a way that will help me get through this and help me grow from this and not let this bring me down and destroy me. And that's really what we have to choose to take charge of. If we just let the inner voice ramble away and say all this negative, discouraging and angry chatter, well, how's that going to help you? So we need to really grab the mic and actively and intentionally decide what we're going to say to ourselves about the meaning of what we just went through.
No, that's a very, very powerful, because whatever one went through, it is what it is. And as bad as it is what it is. But it's so true that the way we talk to ourselves about it, and sometimes we're not conscious of it, but we need to become conscious of it, because it's almost like those heart monitors that you can wear for 24, 48 hours. And then, you know, that there's a full monitoring. If we could monitor the thoughts that go on in our head, we'd probably be shocked sometimes and say, no wonder I feel even worse or feel so miserable, or I can't get myself through this, because someone would be telling me everything I'm telling myself, I'd stay in this place of pain. I wouldn't be able to get out. So in a sense, having more consciousness of, if I'm feeling really overwhelmed, miserable, like I can't get out of this pain, becoming aware of what am I telling myself about this situation and how can I talk about it? And sometimes you need outside help for this, can make the biggest difference between taking a situation that's maybe a tragic, but we make it worse for ourselves, as you're saying, by what we tell ourselves.
Right. There's a verse in Psalms where King David says, "Emantiki adaber," I believed because I spoke. And one of the Hasidic understanding of it is my belief emerged out of what I said. You know, it wasn't that what I said emerged out of what I believed, but what I believed emerged from what I said. And I have to talk a language of faith, of encouragement, of possibility, rather than talk a language of disencouragement and distraught and despair, you know. And I think people don't realize that, you know, it's hard to choose what you're going to think. That's very hard. But you can choose what you're going to say.
And the way we speak will also then affect how we feel inside and how we think. You know, this is such a heavy topic, but it's such an important, important topic. And I'm thinking, you know, no one understands us. We don't even always understand ourselves. And when we're going through pain, we don't even always know what we need. But when we can if we can turn to God, even if we're struggling and saying, God, I'm struggling with you here. I'm in so much pain. I don't know what you want from me. I'm having a hard time handling this. Why is this? Whatever we need to get off our chest, God understands the picture more than anybody else. And so in a sense, I'm also thinking, if we feel like we're not turning to God during a challenge and a struggle because we're angry or we're frustrated or we just aren't finding ourselves doing so, in a sense, we're losing out from the greatest support that we could have through the challenge and the trial, because again, God is aware of what's going on, he understands all the dynamics that we don't even understand. God is the best one to turn to in these situations, which is again what David did, what Abraham did, and as you're pointing out, they went through major life challenges and yet still continued to talk to God through it all.
Right. In fact, just this Shabbat, our neighbor was with us for lunch, and she had shared with us that Rav Nevensol, who's considered one of the greatest Torah scholars of a generation, he lives here in the Old City of Jerusalem. Recently, his son died from COVID. Mm. You know, and Rav Nevensol is in his 80s, so this is an older man. With his son had children, and, you know, and his son died from corona. It was a battle for months, and he died. And when Chag came, when the holiday came, Rav Nevin Saul nonetheless celebrated the holiday, and his wife said, "How are you able to be happy on the holiday when you know your son just died?" He said, "Because I trust God, and I know that he knows what he's doing, and therefore, if it's a holiday, then I'm going to be happy because it's the holiday." And so, like, when a person has that attitude, then they get on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that God knows what he's doing, and as painful as this is, and as much as I have no understanding of this, and it makes no sense to me, but I will trust that the same God who created my eyeball and created my heart, and my brain, and all those all the unbelievable, you know, mechanisms of life, is creating these situations, and therefore I'm just going to be quiet and trust.
I can relate to Rav Nevin Saul's wife, but I think the power is showing also, as you're saying, he's such a great Torah scholar, and really not just learning a perspective, but living it. And it's interesting, and we don't want to go through a painful situation, but this really demonstrates what you're talking about, that when you can talk about, I believe that God runs the world and somehow there's a bigger picture and everything's for the best, but then you go through a tragedy, all of a sudden that belief could be out the window, and to actually be able to live with that, but then, as you pointed out, see how it actually changes a person's ability to live life, even with struggle and pain. Very powerful. The power of perspective, the power of recognizing the importance of turning to God even when we're struggling with him. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.